नमस्कार दादाजी।
नमस्कार, हाउ आर यू?
गुड। योर नेम?
माय नेम इज वीतर अगनंद, वर्किंग इन मलेशिया करेंटली। I've been an acharya since 1987 already. So
what got you involved with the Ananda Marga initiation? And when?
Well, it was very interesting. I had been living in, it's kind of a forested area in the U.S. Originally, I'm from the U.S. And for about 6 years, living alone and doing a Buddhist meditation. And I learned this meditation from a book. So when a friend of mine came and he found me there in the forest and he said, oh, I've just learned Ananda Marga meditation. It's fantastic. You know, then he said, and nearby, they just started a center. And that center would have been the Ananda Kanan Master Unit in southern Missouri in the U.S. So, and he said, come on, let's go. They're having a retreat. So we went there. This was the winter, 1985-86 winter retreat. Then went there and, you know, I didn't know anything in Ananda Marga or anything like this. And so we went. I remember going upstairs in the Dharma Chakra Hall and my friend, he knew what was going on. He went inside. There were about 420 people at that time for the retreat. And I went up and everyone's kind of going back and forth like this. And there's, you know, music playing and incense burning. And I thought, oh, this is very nice. I didn't know what they were singing. Then after a while, everyone sat down. I thought, okay, they'll start doing meditation. Then they start singing again. Sangha cha dung. And I thought, oh, this is strange. It's just singing meditation. Then finally they stopped. And I was doing this Buddhist meditation before. I used to sit like for 4 or 5 hours at a time. After just half an hour, nichung, shadung, like this. Then I thought, this is strange. Then I saw people starting to do Guru Puja. And then I looked and I saw there was a big photo of a man there. And they looked like they're praying to him. And I thought, this is not good. You know, I don't like idol worship. So I didn't know what was going on. I went downstairs. And this is like January 31st. And it was snowing. So I couldn't leave. And so they said, okay, can you help? There's some margis coming. Acharyas will come downstairs. Can you help us serve food? This was the dining hall downstairs. So he said, okay. But in my mind, I'm thinking tomorrow morning, I'm going to leave from this place. This is like, you know, in a lot of Christian countries, you know, people talk about cults, you know. And this looked like a cult to me. So I was a bit afraid, you know. Then everyone ate and then they went upstairs again. And so the people who were serving the food, we had reserved some food for ourselves, so we set the food aside, and so we started to eat. Then all of a sudden, from the side door came so many orange people, you know, so many different countries, you know, Dadas, Didis, all wearing this bright orange, and it was such a fantastic sight, you know. I never saw anything like that. Then they came in, they all sat down, and one Dada sat next to me, and he said, where are you from? I say, I'm just from 40 miles away from here. He said, oh, you're doing some kind of meditation. And I thought, how he knows? Then he said, so who is your guru? I said, well, because I learned from a book. And I said, I don't have a guru, but I have a guru inside, I felt. And he said, yes, sure, but you should learn meditation from a guru. And I looked at him, I thought, he's not my guru. So then he's trying to convince me to learn meditation. Finally, he said, you try the meditation. If you don't like, you can stop. So I thought, okay. He said, now he has to go for another meeting. Only after midnight, he has a chance to teach me meditation. So I thought, okay. So I waited, and there, you know, I saw the Rawa program going on, and everyone's waiting for Anandavani, you know, because Anandavani will come later. And so after midnight, I meet him, and Anandakanana just made the master unit. There were very few buildings that time, so there were people sleeping everywhere. So all the rooms were full, and he said, oh, there's no place to teach meditation. He said, okay, let's go outside. And there's about, you know, 6 or 7 inches of snow outside on the ground. So he went out in the snow and under one tree next to a pond there, and he taught me meditation. And interesting thing that while he was teaching the meditation process, my eyes were closed, but I could see a ball of light in front of me. And it was like rotating, you know, like this. And there were like lightning flashes and things inside. And I was, you know, it looked so fantastic. And I opened my eyes, and Dada's sitting in front of me, and with his eyes closed, he's going through the process. And I closed my eyes. I could see this ball of light just rotating and rotating. Then slowly it went up. It went to my Ista chakra. Then he gave the Ista mantra, and this ball of light exploded. And it just light was everywhere. And I was just enjoying this, you know, for a few seconds only. Then I heard a very small voice off in the distance. He said, hey, what happened? Open your eyes. And I just, like, you know, I couldn't understand where my eyes or anything. I was just, you know, just seeing light everywhere. Finally, I opened my eyes and he's looking at me. He said, hey, what happened to you? You're sitting here already 45 minutes. And I'm like, I was confused because it was just a few minutes for me. Then, and he said, hey, it's cold, let's go inside. So he helped me up. I was frozen to the ground, and he brought me inside. For about 24 hours, I was like...
What was his name? The Dada's name?
Oh, that time his name was Dada Samarendra. He was from Switzerland. Later, he became Dada Suprakashananda.
Gotcha.
So for like 24 hours, I was like, you know, I couldn't sleep. It was just like a drunk person. And my friend who had brought me there, he looked at me, you know, he said, hey, what happened to you? Did you smoke something? I say, no, I learned meditation. And I tried to describe the feeling because, of course, I couldn't describe the process. But so I thought, oh, this, after like 24 hours, I became a bit normal. The retreat ended. I went back to the forest where I was staying. And so I decided to do Anandamarga meditation. After a few weeks, I started to get headaches and, you know, just getting angry very easy. And I'm not an angry person. So I thought, oh, this Anandamarga meditation is no good. So I decided to stop and go back to my Buddhist meditation. But then I couldn't concentrate in the Buddhist meditation anymore. So I was like stuck somewhere. After about a month, I got a letter from the master unit asking me to come there and help them because I have some experience in doing organic gardening and things and farming. So they asked me to help them start a garden. So I went there and so we did some work and I was thinking, okay, I will help them, but I won't do this Anandamarga meditation. Then when Margie brother was there, his name was Ambuchika, and he's quite senior. And so after we did the work, he said, okay, now everybody go do meditation. And then I told him, when I do meditation, I get these headaches, I feel horrible, you know, I get angry easy. And he said, okay, do you know what is kirtan? I say, no, I don't know that. He said, oh, okay. He said, do you know what are asanas? I say, no, I don't know that. He said, okay. He said, do you know Tandava and Kaushiki? Of course, I heard so many Margi's names, so I said, I don't know who these people are, you know. Then he said, okay. Then he taught me all this, you know, 16 points, basically, Langota, everything, asanas. He showed me all these things. And I started to practice, and my meditation became fantastic. My the anger and the headaches all disappeared. I thought this was very interesting. So I went back to the forest where I was doing meditation, and I learned that the land that supposedly I bought was sold. So I had to move out. Samskaras are burning now. Then so I had no place to go, and the people in the master unit said, you come and stay with us. And so I moved to the master unit. After a few months staying there, this brother Sudhira, who is in the master unit, he said, would you like to go to India and see Baba? And I love the Nandamarga ideology. That's what attracted me most. But I had some curiosity. Who is Baba, you know? Then I said, sure, but I don't have any money now. He said, no problem. I'll pay your ticket. And that was probably the, you know, I can never repay him for what he did. What he did just put me on a spiritual path. I went to India, saw Baba. Of course, there's a lot of stories there that I would get into. But yeah, somehow, you know, we get into Anandamarga along the way.
So when you first met Baba, what was the feeling, the emotional feeling, seeing him? Was it profound, or did he seem very ordinary? Or any something in between?
Yeah, it seemed a bit ordinary, you know. Of course, we are sitting in the hall. This was in Tiljala. And we came for Baba's birthday in 1986. That would have been in April. And so the hall was filled with so many people. And just packed, you know, you're sitting with your knees up like this. It's so packed with people. And they said you have to go early. Otherwise, you know, you won't get a seat. So we're sitting there for about an hour. Then all of a sudden, all these dadas and didis come in. And they sit in the very front. And these push everybody back. So it became even more crowded. And then they're all standing up. Then Baba came in the door. They say, Baba's coming. They start shouting, Parampita Baba ki, and you know, all the excitement was building up. And Baba came in, but I couldn't see him. I could just see his feet, because Baba's quite short. All the dadas and didis were tall. And then Baba came in, he sat down, and he looked like just some ordinary Bengali man that I've seen so many pictures of. You know, if you go to Calcutta, you see so many Bengali man, you know, this, he looks like them. So that was my first impression. Of course, that changed much later. But it was very ordinary, but the whole scenery was fantastic.
What about after that? Were there any memorable moments that you are willing to share with us?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot. It was my first time actually outside of US, you know. And so India, of course, you know, the smells, the sights, the sounds, everything were just, you know, in a sense foreign, at the same time familiar. I don't know, when I was in India, I felt more at home than I did in the US. And always when I grew up, I felt like, you know, I was not in the right country or not in the right, you know, society or whatever. So it was a very strange feeling, very surreal. And I remember there was, because to go to India that time, I remember that my acharya said, you want to go to India? You want to see Baba? You have to have some duty. Everyone has to have a duty, then you can get close to Baba. You can go for reporting. So I said, okay. Then he said, okay, you are now Bhukti Pradhan of New York. There was no elections or anything. They just made me Bhukti Pradhan of New York. And so I said, okay, I've never been to New York. Went to India, went for reporting in front of Baba. And I remember Baba had just given a talk, and I forget the name of the talk. It was very very deep philosophical, you know, something very deep. It was a DMC talk that Baba gave. And after that, we had Bhukti Pradhan reporting. So I was there, and maybe about 60 or 70 Bhukti Pradhans were there. Then Baba said, "How does everyone, did you all like my talk? Did everyone like the talk?" Of course, we all say, "Yes, Baba, yes, Baba." Then Baba said, "So you don't mind if I can ask you a few questions?" They say, "Yes, Baba, yes, Baba." Then Baba says, "Can anyone tell me what is the intermolecular structure of these?" You know, he went on something that I couldn't understand. And so everyone was quiet. Then there was one brother, Valmiki, from Long Island, there from US. And he stood up and he tried to answer Baba's question. Baba said, "No, no, no. I'm talking about this." And then Baba went on about something else that he was talking about from the discourse itself. Then nobody can answer. Then Baba is like, "G.S. Dada, why nobody's answering?" G.S. is, "Hey, answer, answer," like this. Then everyone's quiet. Then Baba said, "Maybe they did not understand the discourse properly." Then G.S. said, "Yes, Baba, they did not understand the discourse." So then Baba said, "So call this Dada." Then Baba called one Dada to come forward and said, "Okay, you give class to these boys and these girls here, and we'll meet tomorrow." Okay. So then Dada gave us a class that was meeting. The Bhukti Pradhan reporting was morning. Afternoon, he gave us a class. We took notes and everything. Then the next day, we come for reporting. Then so Baba said, "So everyone attended the class?" "Yes, yes, Baba." Then Baba asked a question from us, but that question had nothing to do with the class that Dada gave. It was something else, and we couldn't answer it. So Baba is like, "Yes, Dada, why they're not answering? Did everyone attend the class?" "Yes, Baba." "Then they did not understand. Where is this Dada? Bring this Dada." So the Dada who gave the class, Dada called him. And I think Dada was maybe taking a bath or something, because his clothes were just kind of wrapped around him. And then one Dada came up to us while waiting for this Dada to come. And he said, "This Dada is going to come. And when he comes, Baba will beat him. But what you should do is say, 'No, Baba, you should beat us, because we are at fault. Can you all do this?'" We said, "Okay." It seemed kind of strange. Then the Dada came finally. Then Baba said, "Why these boys and girls cannot answer the question? You did not give proper class. G.S. Dada, beat him." So G.S. Dada start beating this Dada. Then the Dada who told us to come forward and, you know, see that thing, he's behind this Dada, and he's going, "Hey, hey, do something, you know." When we all, "Yeah, Baba, please don't beat him. You know, we are at fault. We're in the class. You know, we are not smart enough to learn these things." And Baba said, "No, no, no." Then we said, "No, Baba, you don't beat him. Beat us instead." So Baba said, "No, I cannot beat you, little boys. If I beat you, you will cry." So then G.S. continue beating, then continue to beat this Dada. Then we don't know what to do. Again, this Dada is saying, you know, "Say something." Then we say, "No, Baba, please punish us. It is our fault. It is not his fault." Then Baba said, "Okay." Baba became very serious. Then he said, "I'm going to ask one more question. And if you cannot answer this question, I'm going to leave this place. You people are wasting my time." Aram Jada. Baba's going on different Bengali words that I never really learned. Then, so Baba became silent. The tension is building. And Baba looks at us. He says, "Can anyone tell me how many sides does a triangle have?" And there was silence. I wasn't sure Baba's talking about a three-dimensional triangle or a two-dimensional triangle. Then this brother Valmiki, who was from Long Island, he stood up. He said, Baba, a triangle has three sides. And Baba said, yes. Then Baba said, and how many sides does a square have? And we all start shouting, four sides, Baba, you know. Then Baba said, yes. And Baba's smiling, so we're all happy. And how many sides does a pentagon have? We all shouted, five sides, Baba. And he says, and how many sides does a hexagon have? We're saying, six sides, Baba. Then he says, and how many sides does an octagon have? Eight sides. You know, we're all shouting. We're so happy, you know, Baba's also smiling. Then he says, and how many sides does a pitcher have? Now, pitcher, Baba was talking about a pitcher that you pour water from. I thought maybe a pitcher on the wall, which would just be front side and back side. So I didn't really know how to answer. This brother Valmiki, again, he stood up and he said, Baba, a pitcher is round, you know, it just has one side. Baba said, no, it has inside and outside. And everybody started laughing. Just burst into laughing. You know, Baba had created this drama, you know, and we're just all laughing and laughing. And Baba's also laughing, sitting on his chair. Then he said, okay, reporting is over. So that was my first experience in reporting.
And so did you PC?
Yeah, that's, of course, another drama. After being in India, I got quite sick the first time. Normally, people would get sick the first time. A lot of Margis got sick that DMC time in Tilchula, June 1986. And for that reason, and the facilities were overwhelmed, you know, the logistics were horrible. There was no water, no electricity, you know. So they stopped having DMC in Tilchula after that. They moved everything to Anandanagar. So when I came back, within 2 weeks, I wanted to go back to India. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know why. Something was calling me. I wanted to go back to India. So I told my acharya, I want to go back to India. I want to become an acharya. Then he said, no, you're too new. I was just a few months Margi that time. I think I had only second or third lesson. He said, no, you're too new. First, you should become LFT. I said, okay. He says, if you go for LFT training, you can get PC from Baba. I said, okay, that's good. So I said, where should I go for LFT training? He said, you go to Anandanagar. So I went back. I went to Anandanagar. There was one Dada Chidgarananda. He was my trainer. But he was so busy at that time. He was in charge of the college. And this was just before Deepavali in 1986. So he was very busy. He had no time to teach me any classes. And the only classes that were going on were in Hindi and Bengali. I was the only foreigner there. Or only overseas, I should say. Then, so I did most of my sadhana. I went to tantra pits. I went because Dada Chidgarananda was very interested in all these tantra pits. So he showed me a few places. And I just did long sadhana and everything. Finally, I had one class in the midnight. Dada came. He came like 11 o'clock. He did a short sadhana, ate his dinner. After midnight, he gave me a class. Next day, they said, okay, you passed. You finish your LFT training. So I copied it. They call it LFT diary. Also, they had at that time. It says, you should go back to Calcutta. And I took one of the last trains. It was a coal-fired train that used to run. Now all the trains in India are electric and diesel. At that time, it was a coal-fired train. Went back to Calcutta and waited for so long to get PC. And I remember one incident, Narada, maybe you can clarify with me. When you got out of jail and you came to India, which year was that? Do you remember?
85.
86 or 87?
No, 85. September 85, and then again at the end of the year for DMC.
Okay. Because I remember, actually, I was in 86, and it was 85. I remember people, when you came, Baba was calling. And it's, where is Narada? Where is Narada Muni? And I remember you coming. It was in Lake Gardens. Coming up, and you were holding a garland, and the daughters were escorting you into Baba's house. And I thought it was 86, but yeah, I remember seeing you that time. But that was the first time I saw you. So I waited a long time. This I finished LFT training, I think it was in August. Then I was there in September, and I remember it was, we were waiting every day in Lake Gardens, and it was rainy season. Every day it would rain around 4 o'clock. And it would rain for half an hour and then stop. So Baba would go out for his field walk 3:30, then he would come back. He'd come back around 4:30 or so. Then, so one day Baba went out for his field walk and he didn't come back. And it was raining and it continued to rain. It was a fasting day. Then they said, oh, Baba's gone to Tiljala. Everyone has to go to Tiljala. So we finally found a taxi who actually lived near Tiljala. So he was going back home. And we got 11 dadas in one taxi. Five in the front, six in the back. And so
Guinness Book of Records.
Possibly. And so we pulled up to Tiljala, and he didn't want to go in because it was raining so much and the water was coming up. And but we didn't want to have to walk through the water, so we told him, no, you drive in. If your taxi gets stuck, we can push you and help you get out. So he drove in, he parked it, and everyone got out of the taxi, and only myself and one brother were there to push the taxi to get it out. He got stuck. So couldn't get it out. And we said, okay, tomorrow you come. The taxi is very safe here. You come, you can pick up your taxi. The next morning, all of Tiljala was underwater. This was the flood. It was September 1986. Then there was water everywhere. And there were some experiences also during the flood, which was very interesting. When, because that day was fasting, the next day, there's no water, there's no lemons, there's no banana, there's no food. And people are like running around, and I was very hungry. And the Amma store was there, the water was up to my chest in the Amma store. And I rushed there, and there was only this bag of chanachul, you know, this kind of crispy fried things, you know, with lots of red chili powder. And so I bought that. And then I was very hungry, you know. But then they said, everyone has, all LFTs have to go to Baba's house for reporting. So I went to Baba's house. We're all there in Baba's house. And I was hungry, and I had this chanachul in my bag, you know, this. And I was trying to open the bag and, you know, being very discreet, you know, because if I share with everyone, it will finish, you know. So I was feeling a bit greedy like that. So I took out a few pieces and I was eating them. And the chili was burning and everything, and I hadn't taken water. There was no drinking water at that time. So I was feeling very bad. And after that, just after that, they had cooked some khichdi for everyone. So if I had given out this chanachul to everyone, you know, and shared it, then, you know, it would have been much better. And Baba pointed this out in my PC, the fact that I didn't share the chanachul with everyone. So, yeah, a lot of experiences there during the for the PC. I was waiting also, and we thought that because Baba is, you know, everything is flooded, Baba's not going to leave. All of a sudden, you know, we thought the flood stopped, the rain stopped, everything. So we thought Baba is here so we can have darshan every day. And then they said Baba's going by boat. I said, no, Baba's not going by boat. Then we saw three boats coming up. Baba got into the first boat, the second boat full of dadas, and they took off. They said, all LFTs have to go to lake gardens. Now, I couldn't swim. And the water is up like 12 to 14 feet high. So I was going out. I thought, okay, I have to carry everything on top of my head, all my clothes and everything. And you're walking through this water, which is full of all the oil from the taxi and everything. As I'm walking, the water is getting deeper and deeper. Then I thought, okay, if I drowned, okay, no problem. I'm drowned watching Baba. Then this extra boat came up and I climbed in the boat and finally got to Lake Gardens. So it was a very interesting experience during the flood.
Yeah, there's some wonderful images of Baba sitting on the boat during the flood with surrounded by workers pushing the boat forward.
Yeah. He asked the usual questions, you know, who is your acharya? What is your name? This kind of thing. And what is your posting? Like this. There's LFT of Memphis region in US that time. Then kind of the usual questions, I should say. It was like, you know, when you're there, everything around you, the whole room kind of disappears. It's just you and Baba, you know, it's just myself and Baba at that time. I didn't really notice anything around. And so Baba gave blessing, touched the top of the head and everything. And after that, he said, okay, you can go. So I did sastang pranam. When I did sastang pranam, my elbow hit one cabinet that was nearby and it made a sound, boom. And I looked up and I don't remember seeing this cabinet. When I walked into Baba's room, I remember it was empty all around. There was only Baba's cot there. He was sitting on a cot. When my arm hit the edge of the cabinet and it made a sound, I looked up and I saw this cabinet is full of, it was Baba's museum. It was full of things like masks from Africa and fossils and stones. And I looked around and I'm in the museum. I thought it was very strange. Baba's sitting there and I never noticed these things. Then I went out and so after getting PC, I was supposed to go back to my posting in US. And I had an experience before when I was Bhukti Pradhan that there was one Margi sister from Malaysia and interesting enough. And she, when Baba went for field walk, Baba was coming back and she had learned some Bengali. So she said to Baba, Baba, apni kemon achen, which means Baba, how are you? But it's very formal, you know. Then Baba stopped and he turned to her and he said in English, he said, by your grace, I am fine. So she's like, no, Baba, by your grace. She's like crying and laughing and everything. And so I thought, you know, I had this desire actually to give garland to Baba. So, but I heard that earlier, just like 2 weeks before, there were some Margis, a group of Margis came from, I think it was from Suva sector also. They came and they garland Baba. And there were so many of them and there were so many garlands, you know, Baba could hardly move. So Baba made a system that only whole timers can give garland directly to Baba. Margis cannot give directly garland to Baba. They have to give first to P.A. Dada, then P.A. Dada will give to Baba, then like that. So when I heard this, but I wanted to give a garland directly to Baba. So I thought, if I learn some Bengali and I speak to Baba, maybe Baba will stop, talk to me. Then I can tell him, Baba, I have a garland for you and I will garland him. So I was trying to be clever, you know. And so this is just around the time of Deepavali in 1986. So, and there's still a little bit of the rainy season there. So every afternoon it rains. So I asked one dada there, his name was Subha Dhyanananda. I think he's working now in Hong Kong sector. So he was a VSS guard in charge there. Yeah. So he said, I said, Dada, how do you say in Bengali, Baba, I have a garland for you. So he looked at me, he said, why you want to know? He understood what I wanted to do. Then he said, okay, you write it down. So I wrote it down. Baba ami tomar jono male ineche. I still remember to this day. So I wrote it down. He said, anyway, every day Baba's going for field walk. When he comes back, it's raining. He will not stop. He will go inside the house. This is in Lake Gardens. So I'm practicing Baba ami tomar jono male ineche, trying to memorize this. Baba goes out for field walk. It starts to rain, 4 o'clock. Everyone goes inside in the Dharma Chakra Hall in Tiljala. It's quite small. They were all packed in there. But I waited out in the rain, and they're all saying, no, come inside, it's raining. But I wanted to be there just when Baba opens the door. So I wanted to be next to his car. Then, so I'm waiting there in the rain, it's raining. Then all of a sudden, Baba's car is coming. They're honking the horn. Everybody comes out from the Dharma Chakra Hall, and they're all around Baba's car, and I get pushed to the back. I'm, you know, like maybe about 4 meters away, close to the gate even. Then Baba gets out of the car. You know, customarily, of course, they have the umbrella over his head. It's raining. Baba gives namaskar to everyone like that. And I think, okay, now I will tell Baba. Although I'm quite a distance away, I thought I will shout. I look, I cannot find the paper. Somehow this paper dropped and I couldn't remember what I'm supposed to say. And so I start to panic. What am I going to say? And Baba is turning and he starts to walk away. And I remember one bhajan that we used to sing. Ami tomake bhalobashi Baba. Ami tomake bhalobashi Baba. So we used to sing this bhajan years ago. And so I just shouted out as loud as I could, Baba, ami tomake bhalobashi, which means, Baba, I love you. Just when I shouted that, Baba stopped and the rain stopped. You know, it's like these summer showers, you know, they would just rain heavily and just disappear like that. It just stopped. Baba turned around and started to walk towards me. And all the margis started parting, you know. And I'm just like frozen there, you know. Baba's walking towards me. And the VSS guard doesn't know what to do, you know, because Baba is supposed to go inside the house. Baba comes up to me. Now, Baba is quite short, you know. He comes up to here on me. So Baba's looking up to me, and I could see Baba's glasses are very thick, you know. They're like thick bottles, you know. And it magnifies his eyes to where his eyes become huge. And so Baba's looking up at me, you know, and he's saying, is anyone going to New York sector today? And it was just like PC, when everything around you disappears. It's only you and Baba. It's like there might as well be clouds everywhere, you know. So I'm looking at Baba. I say, Baba's question is like he's talking to everyone, but he's looking directly at me, and he's just like, you know, within a foot of me, you know, just looking at me. And I'm holding this garland and everything, you know. Then he said, is anyone going to New York sector today? And I said, yes, Baba, I'm going. And Baba says, he closed his eyes. He said, oh, but your stay has been so short here. And I said, yes, Baba, but I will come again and again and again. Baba smiled and he said, yes, and when you come again, make your stay a little bit longer. Then Baba gave namaskar and he turned around to walk away. I was just, you know, like in a daze, you know. Baba walked back into the house there. And people are coming up to me that were just next to us, just coming up to me, saying, what did Baba say? They could not hear anything that Baba said to me. Although Baba was speaking quite loud, nobody else could hear. Then all of a sudden, because Dada Keshavananda was the PA that time, so he comes rushing out of the house and he's saying, Garland, Baba's asking for your garland. I completely forgot the garland was in my hand. Then I gave to Dada Keshavananda. So Baba had done two things. One is he satisfied me because I had had a question in my mind. Because I wanted to become a whole timer. Does Baba want me to become a whole timer? And that question I had forgotten. I had had it in my mind, you know, when I went for LFT training and everything. And Baba answered that question. He said, when you come, make your stay a little bit longer. Of course, for Taraka Brahma, you know, a little bit longer means how many lifetimes? We don't know. At the same time, Baba forced me to follow the system. The system was, Margis give to PA the garland, and he will give to Baba, and then like that. So even though the desire of the devotee is going against the system Baba has done, Baba will satisfy the devotee anyway. I went back to US, which was very interesting because after I had the PC, I flew back. When I was in Anandanagar at that time doing LFT training, I got sick. I got a kind of fever. I don't know. It was a strange fever. It would just get very high, like maybe 42 degrees Celsius, 41 degrees Celsius. It'd go very high. I was shaking and everything. In the night, I would break into a sweat and I'd be okay. I wasn't sure what kind of fever this was. So one dada gave me some homeopathic medicine. He says, okay. After a few days, it came again also. And he gave again some homeopathic medicine. It went away. When I was flying, my flight went from Calcutta to Delhi, Delhi to Frankfurt, Frankfurt to New York. I was going back to New York sector. On the flight from Delhi to Frankfurt, again this fever hit me. I was shaking and everything like that. Then, so they gave me blankets. Still wasn't enough. I was so cold. Then they radioed to the airport hospital. So here's a person, he's sick, he's shivering, everything. So when I got off the plane, they took a blood sample, brought it in for the hospital. And interesting enough, next to the airport, the Frankfurt airport, there is the International Research Institute for Malaria. And when they heard my symptoms, they understood it was malaria. They took blood sample and yeah, they confirmed it was malaria. I got malaria in Anandanagar. After PC. So stayed in a hospital there for 2 weeks. And free treatment for all German citizens, but when they realized I was an American citizen, then they started coming after me. But I didn't have any money. I was an LFT and everything, and I escaped that. I was working as LFT in US, and finally, there was a lot of dramas going on. Then I went back to India and for DMC, went for training in Philippines. That time, Dada Chidananda was there, fantastic trainer. And when I became an acharya, we passed part AA and everything. It was very interesting because before you become an acharya, they must check to see if you've had PC or not. So there was a group of maybe 10 of us, they're trainees, and we all talked to each other. We said, if they ask us if we had PC or not, we will tell them we didn't have PC. Then we can get a second PC. That was our plan, you know. Then so we all sat down, and so Dada Keshavananda, he came in, he said, okay, those of you who have not had PC, get ready. And okay, who has not had PC? Then one by one, you know, we're saying, oh, one of the trainees said, I didn't have PC. Dada Keshavananda said, no, I remember you had PC. Okay, sorry, Dada. Another one down, a few of them, they didn't have PC yet. It came to me. He said, did you have PC? I say, no, Dada, I didn't have PC. No, I remember you had PC. I said, no, Dada, I was waiting, you know, the flood. And after that, I had to go back, you know, because I stayed so long. I didn't get PC. So it was a good story. Okay, so Dada just looked at me. He said, okay, tomorrow get ready. Then I was waiting in the line. Then go up the stairs. Then so they said, do you have Shoja Majusur? Do you have Langota? You have Pratik? Because you have to wear these things before you go for PC, where you meet Baba. I said, yes, yes. And he looked at me. In training center, my name is Harish. But the Dada looked at me. He said, okay, now your name is Brahmadev. Go. So I ran up the stairs. And said, Stang Pranam in front of Baba. This time I wasn't afraid. I got very close to Baba. Then Baba looked at me. He says, come closer, my boy. I came even a bit more closer. Just Baba's feet are just here in front of me. Then looking up at Baba, he said, and what is your name, my little boy? Then I had to remember my new name is Brahmadev. I said, Brahmadev. Baba said, very good. Because if I say my name from before, Baba would get angry because I already had PC. So they gave me another name. Then I had a strong desire to sit in Baba's lap and to hold him. And most Margis had this desire. So when Baba was going to give the blessing, Baba started to hold out his hands, you know, like this. Then I thought Baba wants to give me a hug. So I started to go up to hug Baba. And Baba moved his hands in front, you know, like, no, 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 like that. He didn't say anything. Then I realized I had made a mistake. Then I looked down and Baba's feet are just in front of me. So I grabbed Baba's feet and I held them to my forehead. And just held on as long as I could. Baba gave me the blessing and everything. And so later, we're new acharyas. And so we get new posting. That's for new acharya, new posting is, you know, it's like, oh, fantastic. There was some delay before I got my new posting, like almost 1 year delay. There were some other things going on. So the Dada from the training center came up to me. He says, you know what is your posting? He said, RS Lhasa, Tibet. I thought, wow, Lhasa, you know, because I'd heard stories that, you know, Subhas Chandra Bose is in a cave somewhere in Tibet. You know, I was thinking I would go there and I would look for him. And, you know, it's like Tibet and, you know, it's like very spiritual place, you know, roof of the world, my first posting, you know. So I was just like, wow, fantastic. Then comes time when, because I always wanted to give garland to Baba. Now I'm going to give garland as an acharya. Then they announced me in front of him. Then they said, something that happened before. When we went for whole-timer exam, before I gave garland, whole-timer exam is a lot of funny stories there. When they announced, okay, this is so-and-so brahmachari, his mother tongue is this, this, this. So it came to me. And instead of Brahmadev, they gave me the name Vitandra. Vitandra. Now, I knew the word tundra. Tundra means sleep. And I was thinking, oh God, what kind of name is this? In my mind, what kind of name is that for an acharya? I didn't like the name tundra. It didn't sound well. And they announced in front of Baba, you know, he said, this is Acharya Vitandra Brahmachari. His mother tongue is American English. And each time when they went to each one of the workers there, Baba would explain what is the meaning of the name. When it came to me, Baba didn't explain the meaning. He asked me a question. He said, is it possible to grow potatoes in Scotland? And I thought, yeah, of course, you know, why not? In Scotland, they eat potatoes. Then Baba said, why? Well, I know Baba has this you know, when Baba wants a particular answer, a specific answer, then, you know, it's only Baba knows this answer. So in my mind, I was thinking, okay, Baba, what answer do you want? So in my mind came an image. My eyes were open. I'm looking at Baba. And I could see the west coast of Europe. And I could see these arrows coming from Africa. And it was the ocean current, the warm ocean current, going up England. And it made the climate warm so they can grow potatoes. So this, I was seeing, my eyes are open and I can see this in my imagination. So then I answered like that. I said, Baba, it's because of the warm ocean currents coming from Africa. That is, it changes the climate in Scotland. That's why they can grow potatoes. Then Baba is looking at me, very serious. Then he looks at GS. He said, GS, very intelligent boy. Then he said, no, Baba, no, you are the one that's intelligent because Baba put this image in my mind. Then, so then went another round. Still, Baba hasn't explained the meaning of my name. So he's asking questions to the trainees there. Finally, Baba comes to my name. They say, Acharya Bitundra Brahmachari, his mother tongue is American English. Then Baba says, Bitundra, Bitundra. Then Baba looks to his left. He said, do you like his name? Isn't it a nice name? And everyone says, yes. Then Baba looks to his left and he says, isn't it a nice name? Do you like his name? And everyone says, yes. Then Baba looks at me. He says, isn't it a nice name? Do you like your name? Of course, I have to say yes. But in my mind, I'm thinking Tundra. Tundra is not, it means sleep or drowsiness. Baba says, Vitundra. Tundra means sleep or drowsiness. Vitundra means one who has overcome that sleep or drowsiness. Then Baba looks to his right. He says, isn't it so? Everyone says, yes, Baba. Baba looks to his left. He says, isn't it so? And everyone says, yes. Then Baba said, he looked at me directly, he said, isn't it so? You are no longer overcome by sleep or drowsiness, even during meditation. Then Baba is sitting like he's doing meditation and he's like nodding forward like that, which we did a lot of that in training center, you know, in Philippines. So he's nodding forward. Everyone's laughing and laughing. Then I have to accept my name. Another time I remember during our exam, we have to go for asana exam in front of Baba. So we're wearing langota, all of us. We go in front of Baba. And so Baba's in the room with one dada. I'm not sure who this dada was. And Baba's just sitting there, not making any sound at all, with his eyes closed. So all of us, like 10, 12 trainees, were waiting outside. Then we're looking at the dada. Dada is looking at us. Then he said, so he's looking, Baba, okay. So the dada motioned for us to all go in the room. So we all went in the room. We do sastang pranam in front of Baba. Baba starts shouting, stupid. He starts shouting like this. Then we're all surprised. We all stand up. What happened, you know? Then Baba is shouting at this dada. Who gave you permission to allow them to enter? Then Baba turned to us, because when Baba was shouting, his face had become dark, you know. Then he turned to us, Baba's face became again light, and he said, please leave the room. It is not time for you to enter. Then he turned to this dada, face became dark, and he started shouting at this dada. Then we could understand that Baba has complete control over these vrittis. He will use anger when it's necessary. And the dada hadn't asked permission for Baba to allow us to enter. So we all went out of the room. Then dada's looking at Baba. Then Baba shook his head, you know. Then we all entered. We did sastang pranam again. We're all laughing at that time. So it came time Baba asked me to do the asanas. I still remember the asanas Baba told me to do. The first one, I was standing there. Baba said, Jogasana. when he said Jogasana, I never heard that asana before. I knew all the asanas. Jogasana. I looked at GS. GS is looking at me. I look back at Baba. I look at GS. Then GS put his hands behind his back and like bending forward. Then I understood he's talking about yoga mudra. But Baba said Jogasana. Then Baba looked towards GS, like GS is, you know, showing me the answer, you know. Then the Baba said, yes, 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 yoga mudra. So I did yoga mudra. I did Mayurasana, Bhujangasana. I did a few asanas in front. Then I stood up and Baba said, what is the meaning of pranayam? Now, when we become an acharya, there's something called the senior acharya diary. So I was, there's a definition also there of pranayama. But there's a sloka that goes with it, but I gave the English meaning. And I had never read this senior acharya diary, but I was thinking, okay, Baba, what answer do you want? So the answer came in my head is control of breath and concentration at a particular point. And I was just looking at Baba. And Baba, again, looking at me very seriously. Then he looks to GS. See, very intelligent boy. Later I learned that comes from the Acharya diary. That's the answer that Baba put in my head. So whenever Baba's asking questions for exam, you must keep in your mind, what answer do you want? Not answer do I want to give, but what answer Baba wants to give. Then, a lot of interesting stories are there.